Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Have I got the microphone? Yes. I want to welcome Daniel Chain. He has stepped in at the last minute. Michael Vidler has broken his ankle, and he is going to hold our service for us today. So thank you, Daniel. Family news, Sue D is very poorly in Glenfield. Trevor is also in Glenfield Hospital and is also quite poorly. Nessa is unwell. She doesn't feel well enough to come to church. Apparently she has her son over from New Zealand at the moment, but I think she could do with a little bit of support at the moment. I want to mention the service on Wednesday at 1 is a new eucanemical service, so everybody is welcome to go to that. Two notices on the notice board at the back of the church there. There is a community audit sampler day and a quiet day, both in September, one in Derby and one in Heckington Fen in Lincolnshire, if you'd like to go anyway. The details are on the notice board. So I'll pass over to Daniel now.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here this morning and to have this opportunity to take your service. Here's some words from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall to the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High God dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nation. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. Hymn number 41.
You know.
then come together in prayer. Let us pray. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever and ever, Lord God, that is your promise to us. A promise made before time began. A promise kept until beyond eternity. A promise that brings us here today because forever starts today, God. It rose the first glimpse of the morning dawn. It sang the chorus of creation. And it lives in all of us because you and your goodness have made it so. This moment in time, God, is nothing in the grand scale of your mighty and awesome plan. But is it our opportunity to recognize again and again that every second, every minute of every hour of every day is everything because of your love? Loving God, today in this place, we give thanks for the gift of creation, for flowers in the garden, for hedgerows, for flowing rivers, mighty mountains, hills and lochs, for heather on our hills. All this and much more speak of your creative act. This world is indeed a place of growth and fruitfulness. But we confess we have misused it and left it broken and splintered. When you breathed life into humanity, you chose us and cherished and loved us. But we broke away from your loving, gentle arms and dismissed your love. When you came to us in the form of Jesus, you wept with us, you suffered for us, and you gave up your all for us. But we forget the vastness of your sacrifice and took it for granted. We cannot fathom the scale and nature of your forgiveness, yet we still seek it and need it. And still you offer it. Forever and ever, God, that is your promise as demonstrated in your Son, Jesus Christ. So here today, in this very special place, as we gather with one another, we proclaim ourselves forever people, committed to sharing in your work. We proclaim ourselves your people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, called to proclaim your goodness now and forever. And hear us now as we come together saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Continue then to praise God for our next hymn. Bind us together, Lord, with cords that cannot be broken. It's number 54 in Mission Praise.
one God. There is only one King. There is only one body. That is why we sing.
Now listen to God's word.
There are two readings. One comes now and one in a little while. The first one is 1 Peter 2 verses 1 to 10. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. The living stone and the chosen people. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." To you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone and a stone that causes people to stumble, a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We pray God's blessing upon this first reading.
Our gifts then for the work of God's kingdom in this place will now be uplifted. It's good to give thanks to God. Father God, we give thanks this day for the very air we breathe, for the gift of families and friends, for those near to us and dear to us, and those separated from us because of distance. Lord God, you have blessed us in many ways and many opportunities. Time for education, time for recreation, time for employment, but more importantly, time this day that we can come to your house to praise you and be encouraged by you. God, these are our gifts. Accept them, bless them, and use them. And we pray that through our giving, others might know Jesus Christ as Savior and friend of their lives. In his name we pray. Amen. The Spirit lives to set us free. Walk, walk in the light. He binds us all in unity. Walk, walk in the light. Hymn number 664.
Walk in the light, walk in the light.
us then, before God, come in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, lover of the poor, the weak, the vulnerable and the oppressed, we pray this day for those who feel they do not belong or have any roots, no identity, no worth. Today in church we remember those who live as refugees in strange and foreign lands, driven from their homes and country by civil war, oppression, famine, or natural disaster. Lord, in stillness and quietness, hear our prayer. Today we pray for those who have been orphaned as children, those who have been adopted and who long to discover their true parents, those who come from broken homes and are scarred by the trauma of bitter separation, those who have been abused, those who feel rejected, unloved, and unwanted. We pray too for those who are lonely, deprived through age or infirmity of companionship, or separated from others, even when they are with them through fear, perhaps shyness, or even mistrust. Lord, in stillness and in quietness, hear our prayer. Today we pray for our society in which so much of the feeling of community has been lost, where a sense of local and national identity is long gone, where ties that bound the family together have been splintered, where values and convictions which gave stability have been flouted by those who live only for themselves. And we pray for churches that have become divided, allowing the things that separate them to become more important than the faith which unites, denying through their stance the unity that Christ desires for all his people, and so experiencing the pain of division. Lord, in stillness and quietness, hear our prayer. Lord of our world, give to us all a proper sense of the worth in those around us, a recognition of the humanity that binds us all together, transcending all our differences. Give us a sense of your love for all, the purpose you have for each person, no matter what their race or culture, background, or indeed their circumstances. Help your church to offer a place of welcoming, acceptance, and belonging. And help all those who feel isolated to find in you the true source of their being and the root of their lives. Lord God, in your mercy, hear all our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. We listen again to God's word.
Our next reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 3, reading the first 21 verses. And so Paul writes, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that has been given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that, through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs, together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the workings of his power. Though I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to known to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. Paul prays for the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, George and Betty, for those readings from God's Word. We're now going to sing a very old Sunday school song. It's "Far Round the World, Thy Children Sing Their Song." If you don't know it, you'll certainly know the tune.
Thank you.
Some words then to come from Paul as he writes to the church at Ephesus. God is the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. When I was the minister of the church in Dumbarton for well over 20 years, I was also a chaplain and part of an ecumenical team at Strathclyde University. An invitation came one day from the Christian Union, that's a student body, to give a talk on why there were so many different denominations up and down the country, and indeed in every town. Go into any city or town, and you'll find a plethora of churches. Within the Scottish scene, it's quite unique, because in Scotland, the churches there are very much Presbyterian and have been for a very, very long time. But up until 1843, if you wanted a minister, the congregation couldn't pick a minister. It was up to the landowner or the laird who appointed the minister. So the people in the pews had no say whatsoever in their minister. But in 1843, there was what's called a disruption, and half of the ministers and elders left the Church of Scotland, a Presbyterian church, and started what's known as the Free Church, or the wee Free Church in Scotland. And that church blossomed for some time. But again, there was a splinter in that congregation. And in 1896, some walked out of that church and started another denomination, another Presbyterian church, the Free Presbyterian Church. And they became known as the Wee Church. Very conservative in theology. No female elders, no female ministers, no hymn singing on a Sunday, only psalms, 1 hour plus sermons, 20-minute prayers, no liturgical concept except for the celebration of Holy Communion, no organisations within the church, 2 sermons on a Sunday, a prayer group on a Wednesday, and a sermon on a Friday. But it wasn't plain sailing for the Free Presbyterian Church. One of the leading lights of that church was Lord Mackay of Clashfern. And one day he attended the funeral of his friend, Lord Wheatley, who happened to be a Roman Catholic. Because of that, he was banned from the church and banned from Holy Communion. It divided the church, and a new church was born. The Associated Presbyterian Church was born. And there were further splits within the body of Christ. Go back to that Free Church about 15 years ago, they were splitting that church again. And as well as having the Free Church, we now have the Free Church continuing. I hope you've followed all that, because I'll ask you some questions later on. But that pattern of churches might be applied to anywhere, to any city, any town, or I suppose even any small village. I suppose from the outside, it might be how some people see the church. Some might see it as a form of a religious club. Some people tend to think that churches are useful to have for people who have an interest in religion, just as golf clubs are useful to those who have an interest in golf. Both, we suppose, should be voluntary and optional, and that is what we take the churches to be. Join one or don't join it.
Now that's a flat contradiction of what the Bible says about the church. There's nothing in the Bible about being free to select whatever religion we like. Nothing is said about the desirability of having an assortment of religious denominations. In fact, the word denomination doesn't appear in the Bible. The Apostle Paul makes the point when he says this to the young church at Corinth. He says this, "There's neither Jew or Greek, Gentile or free, for you're all one in Christ Jesus." When we look through the pages of Scripture, there are a number of definitions that describe the church. Sometimes the church is called the people of God. It speaks of the church as a family, or it speaks of the church as the household of faith. It's a holy nation, and it's even a city. Never a denomination, never a club, a group or society which we form because we like the idea of it. There are two ways we can look at the church. First of all, as a family, and secondly, as a club, and how it's like one and unlike the other. All of us are born into a family. We don't pick our parents or brothers or sisters. They are part of us. You are stuck with them. We can pick your friends, but you cannot pick your parents. To belong to a family circle is a privilege and can be a joy. But within the family circle, it carries with it a degree of responsibility of supporting and loving those who we are related to. That's not easy, and I'll come to that later. We are bound to the family circle through times of sorrow and great joy, and sickness and health, and also through times of trial. How different is that from a club or organization? We join such groups because we have an interest in them. If we love rugby, we join the rugby club. If we like to sing, we might join a choir. If we want to lose weight, we might join Slimming World. If we have an interest in politics, we might align ourselves to a particular political party. I've got a friend who's a member of a club, a very unique club. It's a Tiddlywinks club. And he meets every Thursday with 15 other people to play that game of Tiddlywinks. He's a very keen player. And believe it or not, he has played in some of the major cities in Europe. He's passionate about Tiddlywinks. Having said that, his conversation is somewhat stilted. If at any time you lose your enthusiasm or interest in a hobby, you're quite at liberty to leave that club, that group, or that organisation. Often a club or party or group is made up of people who in this way or another agree with us and resemble one another. A family is made up of people who are different from one another in all sorts of ways. You might have a father who's a very wise counsellor, but rules the house with a strong sense of discipline. While the mother might be gracious, quiet, kind, caring, and very loving. You might have a son who is intellectually very bright, charismatic, the life and soul of the party. You might have a daughter who tries to rule your life. Mom, Dad, you can't do that. That's not a very good idea. Don't you think you're better doing this or take that direction. At the end of the day, the bonds of affection that bind the farm together, despite all their differences, despite all their shortcomings, nothing can separate the bonds of a family. A member of the family may live in Australia or Canada, but they continue to be members of the family circle. The church is also a family, both the local church in this place and the whole church throughout the world. But it should be noted, the church is not a group or organisation that we give up if it ceases to appeal to us or if we are bored with it. It's much more than that. You see, the church is God's universal family in miniature, where men and women, irrespective of race, colour, gender, are bound together, whether they know it or not, and whether they acknowledge it or not. Peter sums up when he says this about the church. You are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you lived in darkness, but now you live in glorious light. In this family of the church, which is universal, God is the Father of every individual. Jesus is the elder brother of us all. And the whole community of the church is drawn together through the workings, the encouragement, and the guidance, and the power of the Holy Spirit. We belong to one another. We help and support each other. We love one another. And each of us has an obligation to take on responsibility within the life of the local church and the universal church in the exact same way as our forefathers did. The truth is that some people within the church neglect that duty and neglect that calling. Some people might pay lip service to their witness as Christians. Other people might find it very difficult to come along to church on a Sunday morning. I knew a couple who stopped coming to church because of problems within their marriage. I know of an elder lady who stopped attending the church because she only saw the minister 5 times a year. I have experience of some who left the church because the communion wine didn't suit their palate on the Lord's Day. We must not be bogged down in thinking about the church as a local body of believers. The church is far bigger than that. All round the world, let children sing thy song. From east and west, their voices sweetly blend, praising the Lord in whom young lives are strong, Jesus our guide, our hero, and our friend. At the end of the day, we have to expect that there are splits and divisions within the church. And I mentioned them at the start of the service. The Roman Catholic Church has its splits. We have the Roman Catholic Church of Utrecht, the Byzantine Roman Catholic Church, and we have the Old Catholic Church, and there's one of those in Leicestershire. We have Orthodoxy in the Catholic Church. And within Methodism, we have the Methodist Church, Independent Methodist Church, Primitive Methodist Church, Evangelical Methodist Church, and Wesley Reformed Methodist Church. It's very divided. We who make up the body of Christ are not responsible for the quarrels that separate one church from another. But in a way, we have inherited these divisions. We did not start them, but we are in a way responsible for them if we stand by and do nothing about them. For that very reason, we need to grasp the nettle of unity. We need to make the effort to break down the barriers that divide one church from another and work for reconciliation. Jesus said in his prayer, "My prayer is this, that you might be one." Steps already are made in that direction. It's very heartwarming when clergy from various denominations come together for informal chats. It's encouraging that ministers have regular pulpit exchanges with their neighbours on a regular basis. One of the main features of this church is that every Wednesday it hosts an ecumenical service at 1 o'clock, when clergy and lay people from the various churches in the town come together for a half an hour to praise God and to listen to God's word. If you've never been to one of those ecumenical services, I commend them to you. The unity of the church is not the concern of assemblies or convocations or moderators or bishops, but the unity of the church is the concern of the whole family of God, every individual. Of course, there are many obstacles to overcome on any journey to unity. The United Reformed Church grew out of such a journey. The majority of our churches are now linked into ecumenical partnerships. We might feel comfortable in our own corner and that the situation is hopeless, but it can never be really hopeless once we realise that the unity of God's family is not something we have to invent or create. God invented it. God created it before we ever thought about it. God made us not only for himself, but also for one another, for our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. In the words from Ephesians, God is the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Amen. And thanks be to God. I want to walk with Jesus Christ. Hymn number 392.
Thank you.
worship has not ended.
It has only just begun. For God is with us every moment of every day. Go then and offer the worship he desires, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with him every step along our way. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us and remain with us, now and evermore. Amen.